Welcome back to the Real BS Show after, what'd you say, 2 months?
2 months, yeah.
Holy smokes. Welcome back, Seth.
Oh, thank you.
Let's listen to a little bit of, let's open this with a bass. See, nice bass. Good recording here. So, we'll be right back after these guys are done. I would say. I think they knew that was coming up.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, jeez, Seth, what in the world's going on?
You know, I've been thinking the same thing. You know,
I can't believe every day it's something goofier.
You go in the stores and there's some shortages here and there. You go to some different.
Like, yeah, I saw it at Dollar General. I was thinking, geez, look at all these empty shelves.
I was up in Target. I was in Walmart. A few times in the past, 4 months, whatever, and then I went to Wegmans, and you go in those stores, and you know there's shortages everywhere. It's not just bullets. It's not just meat going up in price, but there's some supply chain issues.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It just seems. Well, there's something really happening brewing under the surface here, and I think it's going to get a lot more serious than people are. Everybody's under this normalcy bias, where they think, it'll be all right. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And they could be right, but I got a feeling this time is going to be a little bit crazier.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, with this Federal Reserve, in the last 18 months, they've invented or printed more money than the country had since its beginning, 250
yeah.
years,
yeah.
all in 18 months.
More than 50%.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, more than 50% of currency.
So it's got to have an effect of some kind.
Yeah. You know, even when back when they would talk about 2% inflation every year, and that's the
well,
normal.
You know how they got that? They came up with that. That's what they used to mine in gold.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a myth.
They used to be able to find 2% of the country's gold supply.
So it's a myth. And it's actually, you know, right now they're saying there's 5% inflation or 6%. I've even heard 8% inflation. And you do see it in some of the pricing. You know, gasoline going up, the price is going up, you know.
We ain't seen nothing yet. That's going to, energy is the hidden devil that nobody's thinking about. Or, well, I guess you're thinking about it because it costs more to fill
right.
your gas tank. But,
right.
but I think it's just getting started.
You know, I have a lot of developers around the world that I work with. And one of them, you know, that's in Europe, I mentioned about the natural gas crisis that's going on in Europe, and he didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, what? And I talked to another one, and you know, she's in Ireland, and she didn't know what the heck it was either. And I was like, this is stuff that's going to affect you this winter, and you're not paying attention.
Yeah, winter's
you know?
Coming, and the supplies are way down,
and
way
like,
down.
Natural gas is serious. You know, there's a huge, massive shortage, and every single time they say, oh, Russia's got a pipeline to us, we're fine. I'm like, but no.
Russia shut them off already.
Yeah, they're like, China's right now has a better deal, so Russia's shipping the natural gas to them.
Well, Russia's taking care of Russia
yeah.
first.
Yeah, I don't, well, you blame them.
No,
I
mean, and China, right now, China is in a pickle. Right now, they're shutting down factories because they ain't got enough electricity.
And that's serious. And then they have the housing crisis on top of it.
The price of coal has tripled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting a lot more serious than people know, and winter's coming.
It's not just even that, but
that's
you know,
why I sell wood.
And his wood is good. But you know, I think the food shortages and the lumber and you know, bullets, those are important things too. But when you have energy like natural gas being that short, I think in the United States, from what I don't use natural gas besides you know some propane. I don't think we're that short because we're domestic production, but on the global scale, things will go up in price. And so...
Well, they were counting on the United States selling yeah. liquid natural gas.
Right.
Well, guess what? We're not doing it.
No.
Biden shut them down.
And you know, natural gas is a lot cleaner than coal. That's for sure. You know, but that's why Europe is so pro-natural gas. I think we need to be moving to nuclear for more stability.
Well, it's definitely cleaner, but it's a little dangerous.
It's a little dangerous, but the modern...
You do it right, you're okay.
Yeah, the modern power plants that are nuclear are pretty safe. But, you know, what do we do with the supply chain?
Because you sell all the used, the spent... what do you call that?
Depleted uranium.
Depleted yeah. plutonium... What, I don't know, just sell it all to the Middle East. Let them play
still,
with it.
It's still usable.
And I mean, we could see them in the dark.
But, you know, the reality is the supply chains are so interweaved. And we're starting to see the effects of things like corn production and soy affect other things down the road. And this kind of made me think, a lot of people, they were talking about, you know, they wanted to go farming and, you know, self-sustainability, and that's all good and handy. It's good to be doing that. But that's a lot of work.
That's not easy, yeah.
And it requires preparation.
It's a lot easier to just go to Walmart and
yeah.
push a cart around and be done.
But we're so disconnected from that, you know. You grew up on a farm, and I grew up, you know, you worked on farms, and I worked on farms. You know, we all, you know, we have that experience. And farming is a hard, hard job. And growing your own food requires more than just your backyard garden. You need to have some acres to be growing a lot of field. And there's nothing wrong with being prepared in that sense, having your own food.
Well, we're all used to modern conveniences. You
yeah.
know, we get the variety of things that we got to play with is you know, crazy big.
Especially with organic. I see people buying organic and everything, and I think that's the biggest myth ever, that it's selling you something. And I would say people that are buying organic don't realize they're being lied to. because organic is not sustainable. It requires much more land than traditional farming. It requires, and I say traditional farming because we're using modern technology to do our farming today, but you need to have fertilizers, you need to have pesticides. And I mean, give you an example, half my tomato plants got destroyed this year.
Well, you know, had to sprinkle flour on them.
it's like it was by not bugs, but animals. Like I had woodchucks and rabbits, and you know, there I walked out one day and there was a rabbit eating my tomato plant. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. Didn't you see the sign, rabbit?
Leave me alone.
No rabbits allowed.
But see, that's something, you know, we're so disconnected from it. You know, have like,
you think that's bad? I got a woodpecker eating my house. Dang, I was out there shooting at him. I ain't a very good shot. Yeah. Eh?
but you know, these are tough things, and I think about those on the global scale, you know, with, you know, all the machinery we have, and only 5% of the population is in agriculture, you know, compared to back, you know, 100 and 200 years ago, it was 90%.
Yeah.
We're living in a very good time, but it could always fall apart. It could just fall apart so quick, and just being prepared is a good thing.
I often think of what happens to this country if the electricity goes off.
What happens, you know, when the truck drivers stop sending food to grocery stores, you know?
Well, the government will come in and take over that, but yeah. Electricity, that's a whole other ball game there. And,
oh, sure.
You know, even if it was only a month or something, that, holy catfish, they'd be killing each other.
You're seeing this right now in the UK, you know, with, you know, and when the panic buying happened in the southeast because of that pipeline hack, which didn't affect the pipeline. They shut the pipeline down just in case they got to the hack. Hacking the pipeline, but they never cracked into the pipeline. They cracked into their accounting software in the southeast, the United States. But in the UK, they don't have enough truck drivers. A lot of them quit because of Brexit. And so no one's delivering fuel to the gas stations.
I see that 8,000 gas. I didn't know they had that many in Great Britain.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that big.
We have 111,000.
8,000 gas stations shut down. They're out of fuel. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That'd be like, that would be similar
to... There goes the cost of fuel right through the roof.
Right. And they're paying huge taxes on their fuel, too.
Yeah.
They're paying like something like $8 or $9 for a gallon of gasoline. I'm not going to convert to... I converted that before to liters, from liters to gasoline, to gallons, I'm sorry. But that's a major crisis right now in the UK. And imagine just... Yeah, there's a lot of people driving cars and stuff there, but in the city's not as much. But that's a huge deal.
It's kind of a small place. Why don't they just walk?
They do a lot. They do
ride a bicycle.
They do have transit over
there. There's a lot of rain over there, too.
But, you know, these are things that we're looking at, you know, and you see on the global market, it's happening all over. And I would say a lot of these times, it's just the government getting involved with the bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, I think, one of the problems that we're facing.
I was told a long time ago that anything the government touches, they screw up. And yeah. I'll tell you what, no truer words were ever spoke.
$1,500 toilet, or $15 hammer, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just... mandates. Now it's all about mandates. We're going to mandate this and mandate that. And
I'm the type of person that, I'm vaccinated, and I'm completely okay with people choosing whether or not to get vaccinated. I chose. I read the research and made my conscious individual decision to do it. But when they start mandating, that makes a problem, because here's the problem.
They create a civil war is what they're going
to
do.
Well, he's using OSHA to go through that, and anyone that's over 100 employees, either they get...
Now, how much sense does that make?
Well...
100 employees, what? Yeah.
So you
does that mean they're too packed in, too close together, or what?
So even if they remote work, so here's the deal. They either get vaccinated or test weekly, even if they're remote work. Now, here's the problem. Before, they never did this before on a federal level. It's always been a state that did that. So like the measles vaccine, they required the states, each state required that for kids to go to schools and stuff like that. And I think the problem is he's going to face constitutional people uprising against it. You know what's even funnier is Black Lives Matter actually is protesting the mandate. Do you know why?
Well, then he's in trouble then.
Do you know why? Take a guess why Black Lives Matter is protesting.
Because the black people don't want no vaccine.
Yeah. It's 28% of African Americans are vaccinated. So you have 72% not vaccinated and will not get it, and they're probably very hesitant. And there's a lot of history behind that, and that should be taught. You know, we should be talking about those things. But some reason, if you talk about it, that's considered, you know, you're just anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine. I went with Pfizer. I chose Pfizer because I read the research on it.
I'm waiting for the pill.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, there's one. There's a nasal spray coming that they're talking about. Or
once you get it, you take a pill, and boom, you're all better.
There's other ones out there that they're proving. But you know, I look at the fact is that
I think Merck is the one.
Merck, they're in Pennsylvania.
They just went through the FDA trials and stuff.
Successful. They're in Pennsylvania, and they did that. They developed a very good, effective treatment for people that do get sick with COVID so they don't have severe symptoms. But here's the positive. So you have Moderna and Pfizer. Both right now, very few people are going to the hospital with those vaccines. 99.7% of people going to the hospital, they're unvaccinated. They do need help.
Plus, they're old.
Yeah. You know, there are some issues with, you know, there's people that are immunocompromised that can't get the vaccine, and that's understandable. But I don't believe mandates are the way. It's not going to convince people. And here's the thing. They're now trying to pass it to be a $100,000 fine to each employee that's not being tested or vaccinated.
There you go.
And so
that'll fix everything.
And I think that's where the tragedy comes in, is they're shuffling it. They're forcing this, and you shouldn't have to force something. I consciously chose to go get vaccinated, and it was $20 a shot. It's free to everybody if you have insurance, and they also had a program where you didn't have to pay if you didn't have insurance. But it was only $20 a shot, so Pfizer's not making huge money on this.
In 3 months of was it this year? I think it was this year. $3.5 billion profit.
Yeah, well, do you blame them? I mean, really, at the end of the day,
I'm saying they're making a lot of money.
But at the end of the day, you think about the R&D that's involved. That took about half that money right there. They're using now mRNA vaccine, the same technique that they made for the vaccine, the mRNA. They're doing it to attack cancer cells now. They're in trials with that. So they possibly could cure cancer with a lot of this technique. And I think it has great potential.
Well, now they'll have a mandate for that now.
I don't know. We'll see. You know, the thing is there's a lot of pushback against it, and it might not pass constitution, you know, might fail in the Supreme Court. So I truly, another thing too is, you know, this whole executive actions that, you know, presidents have been doing for the past 30 or 40 years, it really kind of needs to stop. Every Republican and Democrat have both used it, and each president in the last few decades here have used increasingly amount executive actions, and I'm putting on both aisles there, because you know, really, we have a Congress for a reason. You know,
well, I did a little research. What are the best attributes to be a politician? Now, if you want to be a politician, number one, you got to be a good liar.
Yes.
Okay, you got to be an outstanding liar.
Right.
And number two, you got to want to steal money.
Yeah.
So if you got those two attributes, boom, politics is your...
And fame, too, you know? There was a saying that they should pick the person to be president that least wants the job. I kind of agree with it, you know?
Hey, we got every bum on the street voting for president, so what chance have we got?
Have you seen L.A. at all? Or any of the cities?
I've seen Skid Row and some of them places, how big they've gotten.
Yeah. Where's the COVID measures for that? You know, this is one that kind of irks me. And this is, you know, we did the show before talking about the pandemic and everything, the 1918 pandemic, and how that influenced the world. And, you know, I think...
They lied their way right through that, too.
Yes.
I mean, it was a total Spanish flu.
I remember seeing... I sent you an article before about this. It was probably a few months ago, about how it's not just droplets, how
aerosol.
It's aerosol. And the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, both
denied. Well, there's an upstanding outfit there.
They both denied that it was airborne. And what basically the story goes is they were claiming there's I think it was like a 5-micron drop off, and anything that's above 5 microns in size, which is very small.
I wouldn't know a micron if it hit me on the head.
It's super small size. So anything above...
That sounds small.
Anything that's 5 micron is above, 5 or above, is a droplet. Anything below that is aerosol. And that's old. That's old, outdated science. The new science is anything under 100 micron is aerosol. So that means flu, it means measles, it means COVID is airborne. It means it's more than 6 feet. That means your whole room, every time you breathe out, is spreading.
Every time you walk into Walmart.
Yes. And so here's the thing. Why did they not want to talk about that? Because that would require people to panic. And see, this is where I think they should have gave us the choice. Would you want to face that or not? That's your choice. Sweden did that, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they are doing pretty well relative to Europe.
Yeah.
I personally say, you know, it's good to wear a mask in that situation, probably an N95. And that's what Europe ended up requiring if you had to go to stores and stuff. And I'm not saying the government should require it. I'm just saying you should choose whether or not to wear that. But that news was talked about early on in the beginning, and the CDC and the WHO were denying it was airborne. They were saying it's droplets, wash your hands. All
well, they denied it came from China.
Too. Yeah, that's true. And you know, the thing
it's
is...
It's not transmissible between animals and...
We all know that China lied about their numbers. they don't have 90...
Dr. Fauci was over there funding the whole operation.
And you know, the thing is with China right now, they're suffering so bad with the housing crisis and their supply chains, you know, same as well.
Well, they got more trouble than what we know. I mean, their energy crunch is just getting outrageous.
And when they lied about their numbers, it kind of the issue I have is it was self-evident how many people actually probably died there, and they're lying about it because their manufacturing dropped drastically, and their census, they hide the numbers in the census, and it's all there. It shows, I'm not going to actually put a number out how many it is, but it wasn't 90,000 people got COVID in China. That's impossible. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with India. India doesn't even know how many people got COVID.
Well, they got too many people.
They didn't have enough testing. They were throwing dead bodies in the river, in the Ganges River. I mean, you saw the videos of it,
that's
right?
That's where all the garbage goes.
And it's like, you know, they just threw the dead bodies right in the river, and it's like... you know, this whole global thing is this, besides the government just affecting thing with the bureaucracy and causing businesses to be closed down, like in Australia, where in Melbourne, they have like every shop almost closed or vacant because nobody's going to work and they're on lockdown. So they decide to close up shop.
Real violent down there. What's going on?
You know, they're
used to be a free country.
You thought,
they're getting it really nasty with people.
You know, it's really sad seeing some of the things that are going on there, especially with the one app that they're trying to roll out where you have to take a picture of yourself within 5 minutes with your location services on so they can GPS locate you to make sure you're in your house. Or if you travel between states, you have to quarantine for 14 days. and that's with multiple testing. And whereas the Delta variant that's spreading right now in Australia is actually only 4 days, you'd know whether or not you are sick. So let's say they made them wait 5 days or 6 days, then you would know. You would have a positive or negative test.
Who's going to run all this stuff? I mean, there ain't enough people.
But they're doing it.
You can't get enough people at McDonald's, let alone
But they're doing it, though, is what I'm making a point.
Trace everybody's movements for...
But they're doing it with technology. You're walking right now with a cell phone that's tied in, you know, to a network that's completely connected in with everything. The privacy is in a lot of ways dead. Not completely, but you know the reality is it's dead.
It's dead. Don't sugarcoat it.
There are still ways of being.
Your cell phone away.
No.
Leave it home.
So you know you can't take your battery out nowadays. You know, I'm not being trying to be tinfoil hat here. Just being honest. You know, you think about the things that people used to do if you had very secretive meetings, and you know nowadays. A lot of cell phones are developed where? Or made, you know, manufactured where? They're made in, like, China or, you know, Vietnam or places that, let's say you don't know what they put on the hardware. You can't shut your phone off now completely. You can turn it off, quote unquote, but is it really shut off? There is technology to circumvent that around. But these, you know, this is not being tinfoil to say that. It's just a fact, you know? You know, every company's tracking you, what you're wanting to buy. So they're sending you ads to...
What
you want to see, what you know, those are ads you want to see. You know,
do a Google search for something stupid like a flagpole or something.
Yeah.
Bam! Next thing you know, you're getting emails about flagpoles.
Yeah. But you know,
Google's like, oh.
But
smokes.
In a lot of ways, I'm not trying to make positive of that. But think about it: would you really want to see ads that you're not going to ever buy anything? I mean, no. So. They're trying to curtail the, you know, customize the ads towards you to be more specific to what you would buy. I can understand that. It's probably a better thing, but it's also scary, you know, where that can lead. But you see places like, you know, China that have a social credit score system where if you talk against the government, they lower your social score. Those are concerning things. We kind of have it with Google a little bit. Apple has
probably
something
more
similar.
Than we know.
And I think it goes back to being prepared. You know, there's some things that you need to be able to do yourself, and knowing a little bit about farming or a little bit about electricity, or you know.
Well, that's the way, you know, and nobody knows where I live, but I'm not dependent on anything. I make my own electricity, my own water, heat with wood.
Right.
I have no utility. I got a phone bill. That's it.
Right.
You know, $60 a month, and all my entertainment comes from that. And
right.
That's it. That's it. Well, a car. I got a car, gasoline, and
you're definitely more off the grid than I am. You know, like
If the power went off tomorrow, I wouldn't even know it.
Same here. I'd be fine. But the thing is most people aren't even there. They're not even. They're so dependent. They go to the store once a week, get food, and not realize you got to have some canned foods in there. And your groceries, and make sure you have that backup for long-term storage.
Yeah,
learn canning.
I got a year's worth of food. Easy.
It's like, you know, if you know, my grandmother on both sides, my mother, my father's parents, they all canned. And I don't can. And I'm trying to, I'm thinking about getting into it, you know, serialize those ball jars and start canning stuff. Because guess what? That can survive a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know.
Well, that sell-by date that you see on these cans and stuff, when I did a little investigation there, and those things are way lower than what they actually are.
Right.
That your can of beans will last 5 years.
Right.
No problem, you know. And if it doesn't, you'll smell it.
But, you know, those are simple things.
That's
like
what you got a nose for is... Well, that don't smell too good. I better not eat it.
If the electricity was to shut off, what else would shut off? Natural gas, you know, people getting fuel that way, or heating, you know. You think about refrigeration. That's another problem.
Oh, big time.
You know, I mean.
Big time.
We're so sheltered from everything. And I sit there and think about all these people that work in the trades doing electricity and plumbing, and they just keep the civilization trolling, moving along, keep on going. And we don't even pay attention to that. We're so numbed out.
We're all ticked off because we got to sit there at a one-lane road.
Right.
You know? You're waiting for that stop sign to switch to slow.
It's like we're such an amazement of a society that we don't even realize that if everything was to stop working, let's say all the plumbers died tomorrow, we would be screwed so bad. Or, you know, I mean, I know you have an outhouse, but I'm just referring to everybody else that has toilets.
A composting toilet.
sorry.
Yeah.
But
there's a heater in there.
But, you know, you think about that. Or electricians, all of them just disappeared. The knowledge of electrician, you know, all the electricity went out and somehow all the electricians died and they couldn't get it back up. You know, imagine the chaos that would surround that. You know, these are complicated systems. They're not easy. Even in Europe.
You can't even begin to, you know, people would be killing each other, you know, just for.
And that's a point that you're bringing up that's very important.
Just for a candle.
I see that, you know, with the toilet paper thing. You don't even need really toilet paper. And I know a lot of people are like, wait, you need toilet paper. For thousands of years, people used water to clean themselves.
A corn cob.
A corn cob, you know? I mean, hey, nothing wrong with that, you know?
I don't know.
A little ribs for your pleasure, whatever.
Well, I tell you what, you know, do we have anything about panic buying?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah.
I think we ought to play something like that because that's what's coming next, I think, is the panic buying is right around the corner. It's it happened, a little over a year ago, 18 months ago.
Right.
I remember the stores were completely out of toilet paper.
Right.
It was all gone. And I'm lucky because I got, you know, five years worth of toilet paper, you know, stored up.
Right.
I mean, I'm really, you know, and everybody thought I was nutty.
Right.
You know, but I'm, you know, same way with shampoo and toothpaste and all that stuff that, you know, the reason I was doing it was because of inflation. I see that coming down the pike.
Right.
So I might as well buy it now and there's no problem.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I was referring to was when people were panic buying about just toilet paper and how crazy that was. They were out fighting and everything.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was food. You know, you need to feed your family.
That's going to be part of it.
I mean,
it's especially if the supply chains are broken and you know, factories aren't working like they used to.
Right. And that's
going to get ugly.
That will get ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a few things.
Food's a biggie. I mean, once the food thing is, once we're a little short on food, it's going to get real ugly, because that's the last straw.
Right.
Right there.
Right. All right. Yeah. We'll play this here then.
Okay. Yeah. A panic buying a situation. Which is, I think, is coming real soon.
Right.
Hi, folks. Canadian Prepper. We got a lot to talk about today, guys. Holy crap. The panic buying is about to start. You need to brace yourself. Luckily, if you've watched this channel for a long time, you're already prepared. You're already ahead of the curve. But the panic is about to start. We are going to see a new wave, which was more devastating than the last, most likely, in the next few months. We're also going to see tensions escalate in China. And right now, my city is saturated in smoke from a massive out-of-season wildfire, which is burning a couple hundred kilometers from here. It is absolutely crazy. So let's talk about it. Especially into the night. Usually during the night, it would kind of dissipate a bit, but it's just so persistent. It burns the eyes. Look at this, guys. Can't really see how thick the smoke is right now, but this is crazy for October 5th. All right, so I started off by saying that you guys are ahead of the curve because you're preppers. There's a reason why 1% of the people control the other 99%. Really, it's like 0.001% of the people run the world. And the only reason why that is because they think long-term. They are long-term thinkers. They can see the future. The majority of people, they're not thinking about the future. They're thinking about what's right in front of them. Now, those same people are also good with money. Preppers, we tend to see the future. We're not always the best with money. We see the future and we're like, holy hell, we have to prepare for it. They see the future and they actually try to invest in it. What was that one saying by that one guy, when there's blood in the streets, buy, buy, buy in the markets? Well, that's basically how they think. This is why I'll periodically do a video like this where I give my best guesstimations about what I foresee coming next. And what I foresee coming next, right around the corner, is the panic buying. It's now gone mainstream. That little Timmy is going to get coal in his stocking. Well, actually, he's probably not going to get coal because the price of coal has now tripled, which is why China is going through blackouts right now, among other things. But it's gone mainstream, and people are going to start panicking when they start to see the shelves getting thinner and thinner. So fortunately, you are ahead of the curve. I told you last month that I had numerous suppliers sending me memos saying that the prices were going to be increasing around mid-October. Well, lo and behold, they decided to raise those prices even sooner without notifying us. What was once 50% of my distributors who are raising their prices, now they've basically all raised their prices. A large part of that has to do with the freight and delivery situation. As you can see here, I do have a little bit of inventory that I've been stockpiling. Whenever a distributor has something, I try to scoop it up. I have a couple more major shipments of food coming in before the holiday season. But after that, I mean, all bets are off. with this situation going on in China right now, it's really, really unpredictable what could potentially take shape. Now, as some of you might know, the situation between China and Taiwan is getting very intense. China seems to be under a lot of pressure right now with the whole Evergrande situation and the housing crisis there and the increased price of coal. China's power grid relies on coal, okay? 55% of their power grid runs on coal, and the price of coal has tripled in this past year. So they're starting to already sustain blackouts. People are going to start becoming demoralized there. That's going to lead to lower worker productivity on top of the already, in some cases, up to 8 times increase in the cost of freight to transport stuff from China to the U.S. Brad over at Full Spectrum Survival emphasized this point the other day when he said that we rely on China's economic system to be functioning properly. If it's not, then we are going to feel it at the stores. The problem is we're already feeling it at the stores. And to make matters even worse, looking at the data coming out of Singapore right now, where they have an 80% jab rate and they're starting to see cases spike like you wouldn't believe, something tells me that we are going to see a very, very similar situation here, in spite of the fact that so many people have been inoculated. But the smart money is saying that we are likely going to see an endemic phase of this. Now, what effect that is going to have on workers and the supply chain is yet to be known. Because, as we've predicted, everything on this channel, from the pandemic, to the riots, to the market crash, to the crazy catastrophic forest fires, we also predicted that there's going to be this animosity between those who had the jab and those who didn't. And unfortunately, that too is reaching a breaking point. A lot of people are choosing to opt out of going to their jobs. That's putting even more stress on human resources and supply chains. So what we're going to see, I think, is the perfect conflagration this winter, where we're going to see tensions escalating between China and Taiwan. We're going to see the Chinese economy really, really start to struggle. That is going to have repercussions over here. We are going to see empty shelves. We are going to see panic buying. It is just possibly going to be pandemonium. Now, I don't claim to be an expert in geopolitics, but if I was trying to save face, and if things were going on in my country, would I try to create a diversion in order to take attention away from that and bring attention to something else? Kind of like how Facebook just magically went down on the same day that that whistleblower came out. Isn't it funny how when you Googled Facebook today, it wasn't the whistleblower that came out. It was this other story about an outage. Who knows? Maybe it was a cyber attack. The thing is, right now, China is testing Taiwan's defenses. And everybody thinks, oh, well, if they do that, then the U.S. is going to come to their aid and all these countries are going to come to their aid. Not necessarily, because you got to remember, if we do that, we still have billions and quadrillions of dollars of trade. If that supply chain gets cut, it is going to be absolute chaos over here. So I think that the U.S. is going to tread lightly. Maybe there's going to be some kind of subversive strategy employed by the U.S. where they don't get directly involved, but they do so by proxy or something. But what we know so far is that yesterday, the Chinese flew, I think it was over 50 planes through Taiwan airspace. And they do this in order to basically fatigue Taiwan's very limited capabilities, because they know that every time they do that, Taiwan has to scramble jets. They have to use all their equipment. Doing that is expensive. It puts stress on the equipment. And it probably adds a lot of confusion, because you never really know when this is going to be the real attack. Now, my knowledge of this is very limited, but we also did a whole video on this topic about a year ago today. You can go check it out and you can see how it's perhaps playing out. Some of my predictions were a bit premature there, but eventually this clash between China and Taiwan is going to happen. They need to secure that. It's very equivalent to the Cuban Missile Crisis, okay? If the U.S. was to really get a foothold in Taiwan and possibly even put some kind of missile defense system there or something, that is something that just would not fly. So whether it's about geopolitics or about the semiconductor plant, Taiwan's one of the main manufacturers of semiconductors. That in itself is contributing to the shortage. Now, from what I've read, an invasion of Taiwan would take up to 2 million troops. And in order to get those 2 million troops to Taiwan, China has already had some sort of agreement between civilian vessels that they will be ready to transport troops over to Taiwan at the 12 or 13 particular infiltration points on that island. So they have a plan to do an invasion. China could easily overwhelm Taiwan's systems by just doing a throw everything at it, blitzkrieg approach. Whether or not they'll be able to sustain it, or whether it will turn into an Iraq situation where, you know, they're just not able to win the hearts and minds of the people there is possible also. But I'm going to make a prediction here, and I actually don't think they're going to do anything right now. I think right now they're simply trying to push and prod and confuse Taiwan, because you remember the Art of War, the book that the Chinese wrote, okay? There's one rule in the Art of War which says, make your plans as stealthy as possible and strike like a lightning bolt. So it would be very out of sorts for them to do this right now after all the buildup. You'd almost want to do it when it's completely unexpected. Now, again, people need to understand that we're in a globalized world. What happens over there absolutely affects what's going to happen over here. My predictions are as follows. To summarize, I do believe that the panic buying is going to ensue because the mainstream is now pumping the narrative that there's going to be Christmas shortages and you got to get out there and get your shopping done sooner than later. So people are going to be stampeding into the stores in short order. We are going to see another major, major wave of this thing. It's far from over, in my personal opinion. The only way we may not see a major wave is if they suddenly decide that they're going to stop testing. I have no real predictions with China's economic downturn. A lot of people are saying it's going to be a recession. A lot of people are seeing red over there. They're seeing various different companies starting to fold, a similar situation like we've seen in 2008. There's also many other economic analysts who are saying, no, it's entirely different than that. And the effects are going to be different also, because where they're a manufacturing-based economy, we are a consumer economy. So when the US was going through all that stuff, it affected them differently than it might affect us if the same thing happens to them. Fuel prices are going up all over the world. You got the UK military in there driving trucks and trying to get supplies to people. It's so crazy that this has been going on for 2 years and there really is no end in sight. They're saying that this might end in 2023. And remember, guys, 1 month ago and even months before that, when we were talking about inflation and shortages and all this stuff, we told you that this was going to be the case. We told you that this was going to be longer than 6 months. Now they're saying 2023. When I make a prediction on this channel, it's well thought out. Sometimes I will say they're a little bit premature in the sense that my timelines are a little bit too short. So if you want to take everything I've said today and maybe just protract it out a little bit, then you're probably going to get the results. But I think the panic buying is about to commence. So I hope you guys have gotten ahead of the curve. And please, if you have any disposable income, don't just throw it all into preps, okay? Diversify. Make sure that you are investing in something for that blood in the streets, because it's coming regardless. And the people with the most commas in their bank account, they're prepping for it. They're buying $500 million yachts. They're buying islands. They're buying bug out locations. And they're positioning themselves financially for a major economic shockwave. And so should you. Thanks for watching. Let me know what you think is going to come to pass in the next 3 months. I want to hear your predictions in the comment section below. We are going to have a special video for you this weekend. We're going to talk all about the wonderful world of burying survival caches. So make sure you come on back for that. Thanks for watching, guys. Take care. Just want to show you guys this smoke. It is nighttime in Saskatchewan on October 5th. And there's a major forest fire burning right now. And the provincial policy on it right now is just to let it burn. And you can't really see on here, but even with the fires that we experienced all year this year, which were pretty crazy in and of themselves, There was never such a thick, dank smoke, especially into the night. Usually during the night, it would kind of dissipate a bit, but it's just so persistent. It burns the eyes. It's just crazy. And I know there's some places, you know, that I've been in BC in particular that would make this look like a cakewalk, but you got to remember, you know, this is very, very unusual to have fires this late in the season. It's supposed to be almost 30 degrees tomorrow, you know, to round out an already record-breaking hot year. So the times, they are a-changing, people, and you better prepare for it, because it's only going to get worse.
And there you have it, folks. Panic buying. Do you remember back, 18 months ago?
Yeah.
I remember going into Walmart, and there was no toilet paper there.
Yeah, and it was meat. Meat was out. People were definitely buying a lot of canned foods. I remember the canned food section.
Yeah, right,
section
canned food
was gone. Was,
yeah, my Chef Boyardee raviolis was missing there. So I got to stock up on those. Right. Those canned things, they say they only last a year or something, but they'll last a lot longer.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, you just got to smell them before you eat them.
Same thing with vegetables, like the vegetables in a can. I do that a lot to have in fruits. The fruits will deteriorate more quickly, but.
You know, I found something I kind of like as a snack once in a while is Vienna sausages.
Yeah.
They're like little hot dogs in a can. I looked on the expiration date. It was 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah.
That's what. And you don't have to heat them up or nothing, you know. Maybe get some crackers and.
Right.
Just pop them in your mouth and. Pretty good. It fills you right up.
It was crazy in the beginning when all that happened, but I think you're starting to see a little bit now here and there empty, but not as bad as some other countries, would you say?
Well, you got to get the panic started first, you know, and then, then things will thin out real quick. And like the Canadian prepper was saying, it's coming. It's, you know, he lives in Canada. Yeah. And pretty smart dude. I follow him on, I think, YouTube,
Yeah.
I like to listen to him. there's another guy there, the Epic Economist, I think it's called. It's kind of like a British accent, but, boy, he hits the nail on the head. And he was talking about China.
Right.
He was saying how bad. And there's a lot of people talking about an energy crisis coming.
Yeah.
Because
natural gas being out.
Well, England's 8,000 gas stations out of gas. What the heck?
Right.
And they're so expensive already.
Yeah, it's hitting the rest of Europe too, but people just don't realize it yet. We were just talking about before the Canadian guy there was talking, and Europe has that pipeline going from Russia to EU, and. They're not getting.
Thanks to Joe Biden.
Yeah, they're not getting the natural gas that people think they're getting, and they're not getting.
Well,
Russia's
running a little low, and they're going to take care of Russia first.
I don't blame them for that, you know, because the North Sea can provide the UK with natural gas, but the problem is they do have a problem with petro right now, with gasoline there, and it's not going to get any better. Especially with winter coming, you imagine if they don't solve the truck delivery problem, then they're going to have continual problems.
Yeah. Well, winter's coming, and what were you saying about a polar vortex?
Yeah, that's
over the North Pole.
So a polar vortex is a counterclockwise rotation at the North Pole, and it happens in the South Pole too. But we're talking about the North Pole for a second, because if it's a strong polar vortex, then our winters will be mild. If it's a weak polar vortex where it collapses, then it will start dipping down, going south into like where we are, or all the way down to Texas, or in Europe. And that's what causes those massive snowstorms that we get and freezing temperatures that are like down negative 15 Fahrenheit, you know, or down to negative 25 Celsius for some people, you know, that would happen. And that's a weak polar vortex. And they're predicting a strong polar vortex will happen, and then it will weaken or collapse, is what they're predicting this winter.
So you're saying that the winter's going to be a little tough this year?
Might be. It yeah. might be. Well, it's hard to say.
Cause every year.
it could be a mild winter like it has been for a few years, or it could be a very freaking cold winter.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think it's in this situation, it's good to be prepared. If it's going to be a week or a collapsed polar vortex, we're going to get dumped on this area with a lot of snow. So having, let's say, wood on hand, that would, you know, for heating, being prepared for that is a good thing, or having extra food or blankets, or because you'll let us say the natural gas or electricity shuts off, you better have preparations in hand beforehand, because you don't want your pipes freezing. You got to make sure your pipes are insulated.
Well, I don't want to freeze.
No, I mean, but these are things that, you know,
I got lots of wood, that's for sure. I'm totally prepared for that.
But you know, you think about it, most people don't have, they're not heating with wood. And so they better be preparing for their water pipes not to burst.
Well, because they better be hoping the gas, the electric don't go off.
That's, yeah. It's like, so these are complicated things that.
They should get those Mr. Buddy heaters, you know, plug it into a 20 gallon or 20 pound propane tank.
Right.
Those things work pretty nice.
Oh, they
nice.
Do. They yeah. do. But, you know, let's say the disruption happens, like it almost didn't. They were on the brink of collapse in Texas. Because they weren't prepared, you know, and
awful.
The windmills shut down and demand was low, so they weren't preparing for it as well as they should have been. But we can prepare. That's, yeah, I think, well, is the part that needs to be talked about.
That's something up north here. We have to every year be prepared.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, the grid down situation is just not. We're not prepared for that.
No.
Not at all.
And same thing with Europe. You know, everyone thinks, okay, so Europeans make fun of America for how our grid's set up, and they have some points. I'm not going to dog the Europeans. Our electrical grid is horrendous. I wouldn't want a unified grid, but I would want something a little bit more compatible with each other, where we could be able to supplement another section of this country's grid. In Europe, they have a one single grid, and including the UK. And the problem is, it could be compromised. In this day and age, that's a security risk.
Oh, sure.
So, if you, I'm not a terrorist. I had to make that clear. I'm prefacing that. I'm not a terrorist. But you have to think like one. What yeah. way would you want to, if you want to disrupt a country's, you'd want to cause terror some way in a country, what better way to attack their electrical grid or their energy grid or their pipelines? It's the most logical way of causing terror.
Well, you can have all the oil in the world. If you ain't got electricity, you're in trouble.
And we're so demanding on it. You know, everything's tied into electricity being on. And I think, you know, that was one of the things when I was in the Army that they kind of instilled in us to think like the enemy. And you have potential enemies out there. You would have to think kind of what would they do. Well, let's say electrical grid is one of them. Another one is, you know, shoppings. You know, whenever shops, you know, get really busy, like Black Fridays, those are times that people could attack. And so we do have to be prepared in those situations. Where, what if the electrical grid does go down? Well, do you have a backup plan? Is everybody running to get generators at the last second?
Yeah.
Or gasoline? I mean, you know, remember when in the South they were filling up plastic bags with gas, you know, gasoline,
yeah.
And like, it's gonna, how's that, how long is that plastic gonna hold in that glass? It's gonna be gone, you know, and it's gonna be over your back vehicle
if you don't blow yourself up.
But it's like the absurd things you'd see people panicking. So what's one way of removing panic is being prepared.
Yeah, well, Canadian prepper has a bad feeling, and I think he might be right.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe.
So, I mean, get out there and get a little extra toilet paper. I got, you know, I noticed also that back then, about a year and a half ago, that the paper towels were gone, too.
Yeah.
So what's that? Is that a backup to toilet paper or what?
Well, yeah, maybe you'd clog your toilet with that stuff.
Well, who cares about that?
It's the plumbers.
Yeah.
Who are they?
Oh, let Dan Brummagen worry about that.
We got to get him back on here so we can talk about all the stuff they find in the waste
management.
Yeah, what are they throwing down the toilets? You're not supposed to throw down paper towels. You're not supposed to throw tampons or pads or condoms or whatever.
Beach balls.
Yeah, I'm sure they find some interesting stuff in the end down there.
Yeah. Well, it's another vital service if you live in town, you know.
Right.
It's just, It's just, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, how about this? You know, let's say a society has a major blowback from something happening that causes, you know, can't get gasoline, right? Let's just say that. How about septic tank owners? How are they going to empty their septic tanks? They have somebody out that dries out a diesel vehicle that pumps out the septic
tank. No, you just open the cap and let it run down the river. Let Mother Nature take care
of it. Right, that'd be fun.
Just plug your nose when you go out there.
I'm sure that smell would be horrendous.
Yeah, let it pour over a neighbor's yard.
The grass probably wouldn't grow for a few years there.
That or it'd grow like crazy. Who knows?
Who knows? We'll find out. It depends on what you eat. So I don't know.
That's one of my simple pleasures in life. You know, where I live, you go out in the woods and take a leak.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. You do that
flushing,
in a city.
Not using any water. You just let Mother Nature take care of it.
You do that in a city, you'll get indecent exposure.
It keeps the bears away, too. You know, they got pretty good noses. Yeah. They say, there's a human over
there's
here.
There's a human over here. I better stay away.
Yeah, I'm going to go around.
touch that guy's honey.
That and skunks, too. You know, that's a good way to get rid of skunks is get your dog out there.
Peeing around?
Peeing all over the yard, yeah. Skunks will steer clear.
So you're telling a family of like four should go outside and pee around the house?
Yeah. Well, after dark, you know. You don't want the neighbors calling the police during the day. I got a thing here about China because people really don't know, and the media is so terrible.
And we're tied into China, so that's the part.
We're so connected. It's you know, China's connected to the whole world, really.
You know, people are asking me all the time if we're going to be going to war with China, and I'd have to say I don't see it happening unless.
Well, as long as Joe Biden's in there, we won't.
I'm thinking, you know, there's been a pivot to China. You know, we've been sending military presence to the Southeast China Sea. But the problem is, we're so interconnected economically.
Right.
It'd be stupid for either of us to go to war. But the moment the economy is disconnected, which is starting to happen, you start to see the war talks. And that's what to watch. But we'll go to this.
With all these, supply chain, these container ships and everything, and the slowdown, China's running out of power. So they're shutting down their factories.
Yep.
And that could have a major effect on the world supply of doodads and whatnot. It would be a big blow to China to go to war with anybody, really.
The other thing, too, is I think it was yesterday, yesterday, October 6th, I saw there was a satellite picture of all these huge, massive container cargo ships out in the South China, or not South China, South California, lined up because they can't get into the docks.
Yeah, Long Beach.
It's just crazy.
Los Angeles.
And the same thing in China. They can't ship the containers back. But, yeah, let's do this one.
Okay, yeah, this is kind of interesting. And this guy has a pretty unique way of explaining things.
Right.
Sky-high prices for natural gas and electricity have made the headlines in recent weeks as energy crises have started to erupt all over the world. The most menacing of them is taking place in China, where coal stocks have hit perilously low levels. Chinese officials warned that China's energy crunch will have greater consequences for the global economy than other energy squeezes now occurring in Europe, Southeastern Asia, and Africa. Several Chinese regions have started to conserve energy and issue rationing mandates to factories, ordering plants to halt or to significantly reduce production over the next weeks. At least two-thirds of the entire country faced severe blackouts last week as China struggled with the worst power shortages in over a decade. The Chinese Communist Party news outlet recently admitted that there were some gaps that may have caused the collapse of the Northeast power grid, which added to the regional power shortage. Energy industry analysts argue that the growing demand for electricity has largely surpassed the capacity of energy generation in the country, and because of this year's extreme weather, renewables have produced less power than expected. They explain that the problem has been aggravated by recent government policies that envision meeting fossil fuel energy reduction targets set by Beijing to accomplish China's goal to cut its carbon emissions by 65% before 2030. In September, the government said officials would be held accountable for any failure to meet carbon reduction goals. According to the National Development and Reform Commission, 20 out of China's 31 provinces have failed to meet their carbon goals for 2021. And they're now rationing electricity, which is having a major impact on aluminum, steel, cement, and fertilizer production. The provinces include Guangdong and Jiangsu, which account for over a third of the country's economic output. Power suppliers urged users to conserve energy and do their usual activities in the daytime. As for factories, manufacturers are now organizing alternate shutdowns every few days in the country's northeastern industrial hubs. Just this year, energy prices have more than doubled in China due to soaring electricity demand from factories and lower than expected output from the country's coal mines. Last week, the Japanese bank Nomura warned that another major supply-side global economic shock was coming and highlighted that China's power crisis risks have been underestimated or even missed. The Japanese firm, alongside Goldman Sachs, lowered economic growth forecasts for China and is now predicting the country's economy to contract this quarter with weak, lower-than-expected growth thereafter. If China's economy slumps any further this year, the whole global economic rebound can be derailed, and that will lead to even higher inflation in global markets, warn economists. China's energy crunch is set to have a rippling effect across the world, says Howie Lee, an economist at Singapore's OCBC Bank. The outlook doesn't seem very promising, particularly considering that official government figures released last month indicate that Chinese factory activity in September dropped to the lowest level since February 2020, when lockdowns crippled the economy. According to Bloomberg, Vice Premier Han Zheng, who supervises China's energy sector, has ordered the state-owned energy companies to secure supplies of gas and coal for its power stations at all costs. State companies provide over 50% of the country's electricity generation, and the mandate aims to ensure basic livelihoods and to maintain supply chains stable. The premier's statement happened during an emergency meeting last week, where officials were sounding the alarm at the possibility of outages continuing until March 2022. Even though China is the world's largest coal producer, on Monday it had only 14 days of coal stockpiles available to the country's power grid. The Chinese government must increase its coal imports, but sourcing coal imports will be extremely expensive and very challenging given the Chinese embargo imposed on coal imports from Australia, the world's largest coal exporter. Last year, Beijing imposed the embargo in retaliation after Canberra called for an international investigation into the origins of the global virus outbreak. With Beijing ordering state-owned energy companies to secure supplies, global energy markets are likely to see a bidding war for supplies of coal and natural gas, boosting prices worldwide. Capital Economics, an economic research consultancy, told clients last week, adding that power shortages seem unlikely to ease anytime soon. China's power shortages are a reflection of the global strain in energy markets and will not be resolved overnight, points out Julian Evans Pritchard, the consultancy's senior China economist. Power rationing will constrain industrial activity until demand weakens enough to bring the domestic electricity market back into equilibrium, he added. The unexpected slowdown in factory activity will add further pressure on an economy already facing serious problems in its inflated property sector, mostly in the form of the decaying giant Evergrande. The Shenzhen-based company currently owes $305 billion to home buyers, contractors, and investors, and is still likely to default on deals to finish homes and pay out on investment products. The Evergrande collapse is sparking a rash of public demonstrations, and its shares were recently removed from the Hong Kong stock market. Although things were a little calmer last week, as the company repaid some of its colossal debt, this week it already missed a repayment on interest on dollar-denominated bonds. While the property sector accounts for up to 25% of China's GDP, the country's huge tech sector is also experiencing major disruptions as the power outages are forcing widespread factory shutdowns. At this point, shortages are already emerging and hitting stressed global supply chains, with both Apple and Tesla temporarily closed. Other small businesses that play a key role in global manufacturing are recording an output collapse like no other. This crisis is coming at the worst possible time, just as businesses get ready for the Christmas shopping rush. This means that shortages will not only be seen in China, but also on shelves in Western countries, including America. Meanwhile, economists alert that local governments' impoverished and rapid reactions to the energy crisis are likely to spark more problems. Up until now, the official response has prioritized rationing over price adjustments. But Guangdong and Hunan provinces have introduced so-called floating tariffs in an attempt to make power production profitable again. But time is not on the government side. Chinese holidays are right at the corner, and energy demand spikes are expected. The most worrisome decline is the arrival of a freezing winter. The Northeast, which already struggles from economic decline, is among the hardest hit areas for power shortages. In 2017, the region experienced a major heating crisis caused by reckless government policies that ended up resulting in coal heating systems being shut down or destroyed, leaving villages and towns freezing. Moreover, given the vice premier's order, China seems to have made an abrupt policy change regarding its commodity markets approach. Many local reports are stressing the fact that the central government has given state-owned energy companies a directive to secure winter energy supplies at any and all costs. However, with commodity inflation already soaring and straining large importers, supply shortages are becoming more and more frequent across the globe. So far, China has been focusing on pressuring commodity and oil prices down by releasing strategic reserves and tightening import licenses. But things are changing really fast. The plan now is to hoard all available supplies, no matter the cost, in order to support continued economic growth, particularly due to the threat of a cold winter scenario. This may turn the commodity market upside down. China's rigorous steps to ensure energy supplies are likely to trigger a panic buying spree, just as we witnessed early in the health crisis, when consumers depleted inventories of toilet paper and other household items, and more recently, in the United Kingdom's ongoing supply chain crisis. It will be a game-changer for energy markets. At a time, the oil markets have already been fluctuating upwards as a herd of systematic traders entered on the bid side of the market with plenty of money to make their positions grow. Therefore, in addition to the speculative interest, the world's biggest commodity importer is now going on a historic buying spree. As such, this buying is a strong tailwind for oil, as supply certainty trumps price in the near term, as explained by Ryan Fitzmaurice, the senior commodity strategist at Rabobank. Speculators have gigantic piles of money at hand to bid the market even higher, especially knowing that China has every motive to panic buy supplies and central banks have flushed extraordinary amounts of liquidity to fund huge purchases on global financial markets. Needless to say, this will send energy prices to unprecedented levels, which may further intensify the Chinese energy crunch. We are viewing the recent directive out of China to secure energy supplies at all costs as very bullish for oil and commodity markets in the months ahead. Furthermore, this new policy has the potential to trigger panic buying in physical markets, which will likely spill over into financial markets as institutional money chases returns, Fitzmaurice wrote in a recent note to clients. Sadly, world leaders are just now realizing that, unlike artificially created money, you cannot print commodities nor artificially create energy supplies. The rules are not the same. The commodity market is volatile and dangerous. The lack of energy is a life-threatening issue, and that was conclusively demonstrated earlier this year during the Texas power grid collapse. As the price of energy skyrockets, those increased costs will fall disproportionately upon the poorest in society, and those devastating income inequalities will be dramatically exposed, as millions will have to face the painful choice: heat or eat. Don't be mistaken. This winter is going to be shocking. Dark clouds are looming on the horizon, and the perfect storm is coming for us.
I don't know about you, Seth, but sounds pretty awesome, I guess you could say.
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, you know, I mean, is it real or is it not? You know, it's this...
It's not.
What's really going on?
It's not a zero probability. I mean, this stuff has happened before in history. So, but is it 100% probability? I don't know about that. You know, I'm kind of somewhere in between zero and 100.
Well, China is. You know, if things get tough over there, the people are in trouble.
They have what's called the mandate of heaven, and what that is, it's not a Christian thing. When they say that, mandate of heaven is whatever ruler is ruling has a mandate of heaven, and that means if things are going good, they have the right to rule. And when things are not going good and the population no longer believes that the rulers are
at their best interest,
they'll remove them, and that would cause a civil war.
Well, I think China's going to break up like the Soviet Union did. And probably our country, too. I mean, we're headed in the same direction.
There is a divide between in the United States between the cities and the non-cities.
The left and the right, you know,
yeah.
is getting farther and farther apart. And
I always say to both sides is the people in the cities need to reach out to the people in the rural because they depend on them. And those in the rural depend on those in the city to buy their things. So it's back and forth. It's not just, we're not independent as an island. And when I hear people talking down either side, I do take issue. But when crises do strike, it's a lot better to be out in the rural areas. Yeah. You know, it's like a zombie movie. You know, they're coming from the city out in the, you know, coming out into the countryside and trying to look for fresh blood.
I watch these people in the Democrats or the left, whatever you want to say.
Right.
And they're just airheads. I mean, we're going to change, everybody's going to be driving electrical cars by, you know,
right.
a computer with on top of a pack of batteries, you know, and that's all going to happen in 10 years or something. What are they, crazy?
Where's
this electricity coming from?
Right. I'm okay with, like, Elon Musk doing the Teslas. I'm okay with that because people are choosing to buy those.
Yeah.
But forcing
they're going to make a mandate, you know.
Yeah. But forcing it,
good at it
is not freedom of association. And I think that's one of the things that in America, we've always had freedom of association. And whenever that starts getting trampled on, mandating you to buy something or use something, it's kind of concerning. You know, there's nothing wrong. You know, what are these, all these people? Electricity requires a lot of generation. And we don't even have the power production with nuclear plants right now. all across the country. No. And solar's not going to do it. You know, we both have solar, and we know what's the main thing that holds back solar is storage. And batteries aren't there yet for long-term storage.
Not to the level that people need. You
or
know?
The I capacity mean, they need.
My yeah. house is fine. I'm, right. I'm water pump, refrigerator, TV.
Right.
You know, I microwave. Everything works just fine. It just runs day after day after right. day. My system is made so that I don't need sunlight every day, just as long as the sun comes up someplace up there. So my battery's charged fully on a cloudy day.
Right. But see, here's the key to this is the people that are forgetting about capacity. When is peak usage? It's not when people think it is. So when solar and wind are working best is not when people are demanding it the most. So storage is the major issue that we have to face. And to do everything solar and wind and having electric cars would just be very difficult.
Well, the amount of copper, the amount of silver, the amount of cobalt that, you know, the mining community, right. it just can't. They're just not set up to produce this kind of stuff. I mean, and these nut jobs in Congress just have no clue what they're talking about.
No.
I mean, they just have no reality.
There's special interests just as like there is in oil. There, you know, oil has their lobbyists, and natural gas has their lobbyists, and so does green energy has their lobbyists. And I think that's what needs to be addressed to be full picture. You know, we both have solar. I think you have a windmill, don't you?
No.
I have the windmill. Yeah. And, you know, the problem is we both know how the technologies work on that, but there's limitations. And so when you hear this green energy push, they're pushing money into something for supposedly R&D, but they're not putting it into storage capacity, and that's a major concern of mine. And so going forward, you know, like we're going to see the shortages on that stuff. I think lithium is another one that's like it's common everywhere, but it's nasty.
Common. It's real common in Afghanistan.
Nasty. Yeah.
And China owns that now.
Yeah, they do.
So I mean, in Arkansas too, but not that much.
No.
But you just got to remember the old saying that whatever government touches, they screw up.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, if they're taking over and they're going to mandate all this stuff, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just so far out to lunch. It's just unbelievable.
We're not going to ever get rid of oil completely. We still use it in a lot of plastics, and there's some movement to move away from plastics and
the Green New Deal. No more plastic. You're not allowed to use plastic anymore.
But the problem is even the plant-based version is extremely energy intensive to make. A lot of medicine is made by plastic, the petroleum industry. You know, there's so much not just plastic bags. It's not just plastic bags or cars or trucks using plastics or petroleum. We have so much that's involved in our society. We are basically in a petroleum age. If you want to be technical, we know we had Stone Age, and we had Bronze Age, and we had Iron Age, and then we had modern gunpowder age and all that junk. But some people say we're in the computer age, but I would argue we're still in the oil stage, and we're very highly dependent on society.
We've done is we showed Afghanistan where the door was, and Saudi Arabia saw that, and they said, guess what? I mean, we're supposed to be protecting Saudi Arabia so they can use American dollars for the petrol,
right.
The petrol dollars, what right. they call it. Well, Saudi Arabia has now swung over, and they're buying weapons from Russia.
Yeah.
So guess what? When it comes to only accepting dollars, U.S. dollars, that day is coming to an end real soon.
Yeah,
and
Russia,
when that happens, yeah. The reserve currency of the world, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and we have nothing back in the dollar besides that.
Well, nobody does. No. I mean, the currencies around the world are just all fake.
Right.
It's all toilet paper.
Fiat currencies. We have one more here. I'm trying to remember what it was.
It's an insider trying to figure out what's going on with the stores and stuff, and what are they really up against? You
An
know?
Industry insider just revealed. Okay.
All right, yeah.
Do you want to roll that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, let's play that, and then because this is getting kind of long, and everybody's probably shut it off already anyway. So
well, if you're still here, let Bill know.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that, and we'll see what they got to tell us.
Grocery stores across the United States are now suffering with depleted inventories and empty shelves as they experience the worst supply chain crisis in decades. But the mainstream media coverage of this issue isn't telling us the whole truth. They're trying to convince us that what we've been witnessing at the stores recently is just a temporary disruption that can be easily fixed and that soon will be gone. However, that's not what industry experts have been saying. In recent weeks, many of them came forward to warn that shortages and supply chain bottlenecks are likely to intensify as the Christmas holiday shopping season approaches. With that in mind, today, we decided to expose what is really behind the shortages at our local supermarkets. In a recent article, writer and economic analyst Michael Snyder published an email he received from an industry insider who told his side of the story. The source, who runs a grocery store in Maine, highlights that things are going from bad to worse. In fact, he even stressed that he has never seen anything close to what is happening now. Some of the information he shared is truly alarming, and we should all spare a moment to hear it. The insider preferred to remain in anonymity, but he disclosed that he's been self-employed for the past 25 years. He owns an independent, IGA-affiliated grocery store in coastal Maine. Supply issues are real, he says. My supplier has limited us on orders for about a month now, limiting the physical number of cases we can order. His supplier's biggest issue is the unprecedented worker shortage in their warehouse. They're extremely short in order pickers and truck drivers, but it's the same story everywhere. All suppliers are experiencing similar difficulties to find new employees. As a consequence, many everyday items such as energy drinks, soft drinks, bottled water, juices, fresh produce, and cleaning products are in short supply, he revealed. The quality of the fruits and vegetables arriving at his store is declining, much more than normal. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't, he says. Deli and bakery products are mainly out of stock or long-term unavailable, as his supplier likes to word it on the invoice. In the center store, dry groceries, just as many have been complaining about on social media in recent days, there are tons of out-of-stocks. In contrast, his meat supply was still fair at the time he wrote the email, but pricing was extremely high. Shockingly high to me, he said. The middle class is slowly being destroyed with these prices hikes, the insider wrote. My Frito-Lay delivery person tells me he's getting just 55 to 60% of what he's ordering. My last Nabisco order had 30% out of stocks. Over the years, we always get 99 to 100% of what was ordered. The Pepperidge Farm Cookies rep tells me in some weeks he's only getting half of what he orders. All of these folks work on commission. If they don't or can't sell it to me, they don't get paid or get paid less. When we place our liquor order, which is about twice a week, out of stocks there are running 30% of most orders. This commodity was always 99.5 to 100% fill rate over the years. Always, he described. It's frustrating, the source concludes. I've been self-employed for 25 years, worked for Kroger for 25 years before that, so I've been in this business 50, 51 years. I've never seen anything close to what is happening now. I come to work every day just holding my breath for what is next for our business and the 35 people I employ here in Maine. Even though this grocery store owner has tried to order smaller quantities, his suppliers are still unable to fulfill them. The situation he's going through is the same one faced by millions of small business owners all around the country. But even big grocery chains are struggling with delivery delays, dwindling inventories, and a shortage of workers. At this moment, supply shortages are widespread, and this is the worst that they have been since the onset of the health crisis. So, if there's something you need to stock up on, you should try to find it right now, because later on, it may be completely gone. You know, a big problem with these shortages is that some of them persist for months. Some brand products that were wiped out from the shelves by frenzied panic buyers last year have never been restocked. Sadly, what industry specialists have been telling us is that this is going to become the new normal. Evidently, other types of retailers are also dealing with severe supply shocks. In another telling email, one reader described what he was seeing at his local pharmacy. "The big issue is at the local drugstore, Rite Aid," he said. "The place is thin at best and stripped in some areas. Last week there was no zinc available. The main issue, however, is at the pharmacy. 6 or 8 months ago, you could walk in, have your prescription filled inside of 20 minutes. If you called in the prescription the day before, it was waiting for you. Not so anymore. Yesterday, I went to pick up an RX for my wife that had been called in last week. Not only was it not ready, but I had to wait an hour before it was filled. There were 9 cars in the drive-up queue. I opted to walk in, and it was nearly as bad. I had a chat with the manager on the way out, asked him what was up with the pharmacy staffing. I haven't seen the regular pharmacist for a few months. He blamed it all on the city for not having any affordable housing and mentioned that Albertsons and Ridley's pharmacy were all very short on staffers," he revealed. "At the moment, dozens and dozens of medicine and healthcare supplies are nowhere to be found. According to official FDA data, there's a list of 149 medicines facing shortages right now. This is the highest number in decades and a really life-threatening issue for those who rely on such medications to survive. At the same time, the extraordinary rise in food prices is also becoming a threat for low-income households, who are having to spend a larger share of their monthly budgets just to have enough to eat on their tables. Many problems, including commodity shortages, supply chain bottlenecks, soaring transportation costs, extreme weather, and labor woes, have all contributed to the relentless rise in food prices. And unfortunately, there's no end in sight for this upward trend. Inflation at the wholesale level jumped by 8.3% last month, according to the Labor Department reported Friday, the biggest annual gain since the department started calculating the number in 2010. Meat prices are skyrocketing. They've been rising faster than most other grocery prices. Meat, poultry, fish, and eggs currently up 5.9% compared to last year and over 15% higher than 2019 prices. According to Bloomberg, meat reserves in the United States have dropped to dangerously low levels. A report released last week showed that beef reserves went down 7.7% from a year ago, while poultry supplies have plunged 20%, and pork bellies sliced into bacon slumped 44% to the lowest levels since 2017. We are now being told to brace ourselves for more price spikes in the coming months. Sysco, one of the nation's biggest food distributors, reported food inflation levels of 10.2% on its most recent quarterly report. All of those increases are being passed on to us, the customers, in turn. On the other hand, as shortages become more extensive, retailers have started to re-implement limits. Last Thursday, Costco said it was reinstalling limits on purchases of toilet paper, paper towels, and bottled water. Although they don't call it rationing, that is essentially what it is. The decision comes as American consumers get ready to hit the stores ahead of the fall and winter holidays. Already, a resurgence of virus cases is leading to a new wave of hoarding of household essentials, which is creating another shortage of cleaning supplies, just as seen last year. Transportation issues this year are causing delays in deliveries to stores, Chief Financial Officer Richard Galanti said in an earnings call. "A year ago, there was a shortage of merchandise," Galanti said.
Now they've got merchandise, but there's 2 or 3 week delays on getting it delivered because there's a limit on short-term changes to trucking and delivery needs of the suppliers, so it really is all over the board. Joining a long list of retailers, Costco is sounding the alarm about climbing shipping prices and worsening supply chain issues. The warehouse retailer, which issued a similar cautionary warning in May, was joined by athletic wear giant Nike and economic bellwethers FedEx and General Mills in expressing similar concerns. Bank of America data shows that the cost to ship containers overseas hit new record highs this month. About 1 year and a half ago, getting a 40-foot container from Shanghai to New York would cost less than $2,000. Now, it's gone up from $2,000 to $16,000. According to Bloomberg, the official numbers are not the real ones traded on the spot. Some importers are reportedly paying a premium for on-time delivery that costs as much as $25,000, a luxury that many business owners simply cannot afford. Costco revealed that it was paying 6 times more for containers and shipping due to price increases on items shipped overseas, up to 8% more for paper goods, as much as 11% more for plastic and resin products, including trash bags and cups, and 3 to 10% more for apparel, reported Fox Business. You know, all things considered, it's safe to say that neither inflation nor shortages are going to be temporary. At the beginning of the year, many were expecting the economy to be booming at this point. But instead, what we have is huge price hikes and very painful shortages that are likely to persist for at least another year or two. Our economic infrastructure is being shaken to the core as events have begun to slide out of control. Beware of the next events, because it won't take too much for us to be facing a full-blown avalanche.
The Real BS Show. We're back in action.
Yeah.
After a couple months off. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know it was
two months long.
Yeah. Well, let's end this. Let's end everybody. I see some heads dozing off out there.
Well, we have to make it clear. We've been busy. We've been coming to the studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're working on a project.
Working hard, yeah. We'll surprise everybody with that. Yeah. But let's end it with some nice, see you later music.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to contemplate with, you know?
Yeah, something to contemplate. All this information you just absorbed. Okay, Seth, take it away.